In the name of the Father,
and of the Son,
and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, God Himself incarnate, began teaching by calling for repentance. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And He ended His public teaching. These were the last words of His public teaching from the cross. Father, forgive them, for they are unconscious. They know not what they do. It means they have no awareness of what they are doing. His last word preached was the word of forgiveness. First repentance, then forgiveness. In our reading today, the King of the kingdom is our Lord, Jesus Christ. We owe Him more than we can ever pay. As a comparison, for 10,000 talents, we can look at the annual wealth of the greatest of the Hebrew kings, King Solomon, just over 600 talents a year. Multiply that by 15, and you come close to 10,000 talents. There was no way this man could ever pay what he owes. Jesus, the Christ, from the cross, the king forgave his servant. The king sowed the seed of forgiveness. God, the king, hoped for fruit from the tree of forgiveness, that his forgiveness would pass through the grateful heart of those forgiven, and they would not stop his forgiveness from passing on to others. If we do not or cannot forgive others, it's because we have put a barrier between God and that other person. We have received his forgiveness rather than letting God's forgiveness pass through us to the other person. Sometimes people say, "I don't see how I can forgive this person." It's not up to you. It's not your forgiveness. You aren't God. God forgives. God has forgiven. The only choice we have is whether or not to be transparent for the forgiveness of God to pass through us and to others, or whether to say, "No, the forgiveness stops with me," and God will honor that. If we reject his forgiveness, we bear the consequences for all of the things that we choose other than God. Sometimes we think we can cheat God, sell him short. He's powerless from a worldly point of view. He doesn't enforce himself. I remember coming to a parish, a very difficult parish, and there was a man there who considered himself Orthodox, but it was his church. And he told me, "Father, this church is ours in a way it never will be yours." But he, of course, was talking about the building and all the things it had. I don't think of that when I think of the church. And he looked at the teachings given, and his question was, "But how are you going to enforce it?" That was his thought. God does not enforce his teachings. Why not? Because we are free. We are free to stop the forgiveness that he gives to us and keep it from passing on to others and set ourselves up in this world, kind of housekeeping in the world, on our own power, our own authority, our own self-love, our own vanity. God creates us, he puts us in the world of his creation, and our calling as human beings is to offer this world up to him, to glorify him by the things that we do, the Christ-like acts that we accomplish, and instead we set ourselves up in housekeeping and we think the vineyard is mine to do with as I please. The owner of the vineyard is a fool. He never enforces the things that he says. We don't realize he doesn't need to enforce them. They are cast in our flesh as human beings. If we rebel against the beings that we are, created in the image and likeness of God, and spurn his forgiveness and treat it as though it amounts to nothing, the consequences of our choices are not just immediate, they are simultaneous with our choosing that which we choose other than God. The consequences change us. They make us vain, selfish, self-glorifying, puffed up. And the more this happens, the less conscious of it we are. Father, forgive them. They are unconscious. They know not what they do. They have no awareness of having ignored the forgiveness that they've been given and pass their own ways of preferring the world and preferring themselves on to others. The consequences are more than immediate. They are simultaneous with our choice of other than God. St. Nikolai says in the parable, the debtor's being sold, losing his wife, his children, all of his possessions, and being thrown into the outer darkness. It means the sinner is deprived of his God-given personality. We are deprived of our God-given personality by the choices that we make that are selfish and vain and self-glorifying and putting ourselves above God. We lose our God-given personality. All of those gifts that we hear about and misunderstand the nature of them. The gift to be able to be the human beings that God has created. The murderer loses his humanity. The vain man is condemned to live life as an unconscious, vain man, not seeing, not understanding, making judgments out of vanity, making judgments out of foolishness, wasting his life, not living according to his God-given personality. That disappears. Every murderer is like every other murderer. Vanity is always the same. Whenever we choose ourselves and to glorify ourselves, it is obvious to everyone. And our punishment is the fact that we have lost the personality that God gave us in the beginning. And we feel free. We are free of God. We are free of the burden of life. We are free of the burden of living life actively and with the freedom that God gives us to fulfill being the person that he created us to be. There is no way to cheat God. We think sometimes that we have come up with a way of being orthodox and yet just giving in here and there in ways that pinch just a little bit too much. And what happens? Everything is fine. Everything is according to our liking. We even think well of ourselves by way of our orthodox faith, an orthodox faith that for the most part we don't live. We know about it. We may understand it intellectually, but we don't live that faith. God has bought us time to live our lives. Mankind deserved to be condemned, and Christ came into the world and died on the cross in order to buy us time. Time in which to live our lives. Orthodox often talk about how our understanding of the end time is not some kind of catastrophe that will come at the end of history. Our understanding of the end time is that the end time has already begun. We are already living in the end time. God has bought us time to live our lives. We are able to live according to the life of Christ. Something we might not understand about that can be clarified maybe by thinking about the fate of the great King Hezekiah in the Old Testament, who was served by the prophet Isaiah. Hezekiah was desperately ill, ill unto death. And Isaiah came to him and he said, O king, you will not live, you will die. And Hezekiah turned to the wall and prayed. Now, what wall was he facing? He was facing the wall of the end of his life. He was facing the wall of death. And before that wall, he prayed to God. O Lord, remember that once I served you as a good king. He did the things that a good king should do. He had not since that time done the things that a good king should do. He had not served God. He had begun to serve himself. He had begun to assume that since he had power and authority over his own life and influence on others, that he could do as he pleased. He could decide, I will do it this way this time. He was no longer the king that he had been, and it was time for him to die. It wasn't punishment, it was the end of his life. We all only live a certain length of time, and his end of time had come. But facing this wall, and knowing that he was in the spiritual condition that he was in, he prayed to God for more time. And Isaiah went and he prayed to the Lord. And the Lord told him, go and tell Hezekiah this. Watch the sundial. If the shadow on the sundial moves 10 degrees ahead, he will die. If the shadow on the sundial moves 10 degrees back, I will have given him 15 more years to live his life. I will have forgiven him, and I expect repentance. If the shadow moves back, Jesus from the cross bought us time. The end time has already begun. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, we pray, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We are renewing our contract with God that we will be treated as we treat others. We will forgive others and let the forgiveness of God pass through us to others. We will not be a barrier. We will not be a stumbling block. We will not in any way confuse the little ones. We will make life clear to them. Teach them the ways of the Lord. Teach them how we live before the Lord. Be examples of how to live the life in Christ. Every time we say the Lord's Prayer, St. Nikolai says it is a fearsome thing to say, deal with me as I deal with others. This is what we call down upon ourselves. Deal with me as I deal with others. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. There is a translation, trespasses. Archbishop Dimitri never preferred it because he thought that it made it sound as though, well, I have my area, God has his area. If I don't step into his area, things are fine. If I trespass on his area and break a rule, then that's not fine. And forgive me for that. Sorry, God. Sorry I stepped on your petunias. That's not what's going on in the Lord's Prayer. We are renewing this contract of forgiveness and repentance. Sometimes we come and we say, forgive me for this. We know God will forgive us. Where is the repentance? Repentance is all that makes the seed of God's forgiveness of us grow into a life in Christ. And so when we think about all that was forgiven to the man who pled before God, we need to think of ourselves as pleading before God for forgiveness, receiving Christ, who is the one who tells us that we need to forgive others. And if we don't, if we become stumbling blocks before others, then how will God forgive us? If instead of passing on his life, we cut his life off from others and stand in the way to our own glorification. And so let us repent truly of not being able to be sufficiently transparent to God's love and God's grace so that others, when they come near us, can see clearly that we love God, we love the Lord, far more than we ever could love ourselves. And they will be able to see through us and see that God gives his grace and love through every Christian. Every true Christian that receives God's forgiveness and repents of setting himself or herself up as something that must be looked at and seen for itself. Let us become transparent to God's forgiveness, which he has poured out upon us all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.